maker of heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them. He remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. That psalm, I feel, sums up the trip that we had. I can't echo how much praise we want to give to our Lord for what he did on our trip to Honduras. And so I'm super excited to show you some pictures and tell you some stories. And we have some videos as well so that you can kind of experience a little bit of what I experienced while I was there. So you're ready. So we're good. All right. So some people may be wondering, where is Honduras? Because I had to actually look it up myself because I hadn't studied the geography of the world in a little while. So the picture on the left there is the bottom tip of Mexico. And then there are a few countries in between Guatemala and Belize. And then right next to Guatemala is Honduras. And so it's in Central America, and they primarily speak Spanish there, which is how this is part of how the Lord used me and my love for the Spanish language to be able to go. And then the picture on the right, it's really kind of hard to see. I probably should have made it a little bit bigger. That circle is basically the part of Honduras where we were. So to give you a little bit of a background behind how we got to where we are, there was a couple who was affiliated with a Nazarene organization, a missions agency, kind of like ABWE, and they did like our missionaries with ABWE do. They raise their support, they go to the country where they feel God has called them, and they serve. Well, about, I'm not sure how many years ago, maybe 5 to 8 years ago, their missions agency said, Honduras is too unsafe for you to go. And so we are pulling all ties with Honduras because it's too unsafe for our missionaries to go there. So you can go to another country or you can move back to the States. And so this couple, their names are Dana and Mirza, they said, but this is a country we love. This is where God wants us. This is where we have developed relationships. And so we're not going to give up on these people because these people are people that we love and they need to know Christ, even if it is unsafe. And so they separated from that agency and they became self-funded missionaries. And so their churches all got behind them and said, we want to support you. And so the church that I went with in Piqua is one of their big supporters that helps provide for them to be able to go. And so they have a really great relationship with them because they help provide a lot for this couple to be there. And so their hub where they live is in San Pedro Sula, which is, if I can use my little, I don't know if my little pointer will work, but it's on the left-hand side of the circle, and that is where their hub is. And so they did tons of work there in that immediate area, and then they learned that we need to branch out a little bit because there are tons of communities, they call them pueblos, they have a lot of communities where they can't get out very far. Their only transportation is by foot or they walk, and so they said, let's try to reach out. And so they do a lot of training for local Hondurans who are interested in pastoral ministry. They do lots of pastoral training, and then they usually go back to the community where they're from and start churches. And so whenever we landed in San Pedro Sula, we went a few different places, but we ended up on the other side of the circle, basically, is where we ended up. And so for someone who gets car sick, it is not a very smooth ride. And I like to say that the roads, the main roads weren't too bad, but a lot of the back roads that we took were like a mix of combining the Rocky Mountains and Martin Road. Okay. So how does that, that's a good combination of some of the traveling. So as you can imagine, for someone who gets car sick, there was a lot of prayer. It was very bumpy, but we survived. I didn't get too sick. I did get a little bit sick at one point, but overall we survived. So, all right. So here is the start of the pictures. As you can see, the first picture was overlooking Honduras as we were getting ready to land. Shannon and I were the two translators, and so it was really neat to see how God provided the way for both of us to be able to go. I shared this whenever I had kind of shared about how God orchestrated this trip. So for those of you that heard that, you might have heard a little bit of this, but Shannon actually led some Bible studies that I was in when I was in high school, because I graduated from high school with her sister. And so it was really neat to see how God brought us back together. We hadn't really seen or talked to each other for probably 8 to 9 years. And so that's us at the airport. And the right picture is our luggage. I didn't get a real good picture because they were trying to hurry to get us out to our bus. But we had 65 pieces of luggage, and praise the Lord, all 65 pieces of luggage made it. That was a big stress. And another thing, because we just saw evidence of God's faithfulness throughout the whole trip. And so whenever we got checked in at the airport, we all brought one suitcase so that our second suitcase could be for supplies. And then we had some extra suitcases. And so we had, 28 times 2 would be 56. And then we had another 9 more suitcases. It was going to cost $2,000, about $2,200 for all of our luggage to get there. So the leader of the group went up to pull out his card to pay the $2,200. And the Delta agent said, "Don't worry about it. It's taken care of." $2,200 right there. Like, God's good. And so he was like, "Okay," you know. And so we were like, "Okay, thank you, Jesus." So that was really neat just to see, even in that way, that God is at work. So this was the bus that we took to get to our final destination. And there's just a picture. There are a lot of motorcycles. I'm not sure, or these bikes. I'm not sure how they get suitcases from the airport to where they're going, but there were lots of motorcycles and other motorbikes that they had parked there. So on our way to our destination, we stopped at our first stop. It was called Tio Domo, and it was our first interaction with Honduran food, and it was a really good choice. So as soon as we got there, they came up to Shannon and I and said, "Would you care to go up to the beginning of the line, let everyone go through, and tell everyone what is in the line?" And so they would pick, and then they would scoop it out on your plates. And so we had to explain to them what the foods were. Nothing too exotic. They were pretty standard. Lots of beans, lots of rice, some veggies, some pork, some beef, some chicken, and some sausage. So it was pretty standard. So you can see there, that was my plate. I had some homemade tortillas. The neat thing about when they make tortillas is they flip them with their hands. They don't use a scoop. They just turn them over. So it was fun to watch them make tortillas. So I had vegetables. I had beans and rice. And another thing are plantains. And so they usually fry the plantains. And so I had those in the middle of my plate. So it was neat. It was kind of a popular place for people that are visiting to come, so it was a pretty nice facility compared to a lot of other places that we went. So after we stopped there to eat, we went to La Ceiba. La Ceiba is a town that is a little more modernized. It's very close to the ocean, and so if any of you are familiar with cruises and you've been to the Roatan Islands would be off the shore of this area. So we did kind of drive by the ocean just so we could see it, but the building on the left is their pastor's training center. And so they have classes, and they have little arrangements like hotels would have and underneath. And so that's their training center. So the church that I went with, called Upper Valley Community, they have been going to Honduras for 10 years. And to me, that is amazing. It's amazing to see that they have really taken time to invest in these people. These people get so excited when this church comes back to visit. Some of them are the same people over and over. Sometimes they're different groups. And they get so excited because of what they've done. So this group of people from a couple years ago, the same church, is what built that pastoral training center. And then the middle picture is the parsonage for the pastor that lives there. His name is Pastor Neftali, and he has been in La Ceiba for a while, and same thing. He has a great relationship with this church because of the continued trips that the church makes. So we went in. They had just built that. That was what they had finished from last year. So the group that came last year that also came this year were really excited to see the progress that was made. The picture on the right shows that they do have Wendy's and Pizza Hut, so we are kind of surprised about that. And actually, the Pizza Hut in Honduras is way nicer than the ones here. So it was neat to see. All right, so we got to our hotel, and our hotel was called Hotel Centro Sabá. And the sights you can see from the pictures are basically just what you would see in a city, just buildings. It's definitely not... There's much more poverty in this country. And so there's my dinner plate that night. We ate at a place called Michelle's Diner, and that's truly what it's called. So I'm not sure if Michelle is American or if her name's Michelle. But anyway, whoever Michelle is, she makes really good food. So again, we had some meat. We had some beans with cheese on it, some pico. Their pico was really, really good, and their meat was really good. So I know I'm not a huge fan of avocados, but their avocado was actually really good too. So that is that. So we got to our room, and our room was actually nicer than I anticipated. Whenever I was talking to Bill Raisin, who went on the trip, he said, it's actually a really nice hotel for a third world country. You have air conditioning. And he said, I didn't see any bed bugs. So I'm like, well, that's good. That's a good thing. And so there's our room. It was cute and lots of color. All right. So the hotel had a couple levels. And then on the very top floor, the middle picture there shows they have hammocks that were hung so people can just come and hang out. They had a pool table up there, and they had some other tables to just sit and hang out. So in the evening, once we were finished, we would hang out there a little bit and just talk. We had a lot of really great conversations up there. So, and there's another dinner. I don't know. The food fascinated me, so I took pictures. All right, so the place that we went to and stayed was called Sabá, okay? And last year, they worked on building the church building. And so they got the church built, and this year, we took time to pour concrete around the outside of the building, and we also did some other technology things. Then we also started working on the parsonage. So I'll show pictures of that as we go. But you can see on the right, the picture, basically it's just hard cement floors, and they have windows. They're pretty windows, but they are open, so they don't have any, you know, closed windows. They're open, and they have a little stage up at the front, and that is just an overview of the building. The picture on the left is the looking out front from the church building, and that's some of the group working on that. So the other workplace that we spent most of our time was working on the parsonage, which is Pastor Henry. Pastor Henry has been working with two churches. He has been working at a place called La Confianza, which I'll show you pictures of in a little bit. And then he also works with this church here in Sabá. And so his wife lives in the United States. They have three children, and their oldest daughter has severe seizures and a lot of other severe health concerns. And so the medication that she needs cannot be provided in Honduras. And it's extremely expensive. So Henry's wife is actually in Kansas City right now working, but she is working and saving up to try to bring enough meds that they would be able to bring her back once this house is built. And so it's very hard for him to be in ministry working with two churches and to not have a wife to, you know, to be there with and to serve with. And so his daughter was there. I met her. I didn't know it was her, but we had our church service, and this little girl came up to me, and she was like, hola, and she was talking to me and giving me hugs. And I said to one of the girls, I'm like, who is this? They were like, that's Pastor Henry's daughter that has the special needs. And I was like, oh, well, that was really neat to put a face with the name and to be able to see, you know, who she was, so I knew, you know, who I was praying for. So Bill Raisin is there on the left. He is holding one of the millions of worms that we saw as we were digging. So that was probably one of the biggest ones we saw. I apologize, the picture is not real clear, but it was a really long worm. So he's holding the worm with gloves. And there, we did lots of digging. So in Honduras, they don't have big concrete trucks. They do it. They have these little small ones that they use if you're lucky. But most of the cement that we mixed was by hand. And so we did lots of cement mixing. So this is them digging through the sand to help mix in the concrete. So There's some more pictures of the work site. There's a picture of me with a pickaxe. Who needs CrossFit whenever you have a pickaxe? Like, seriously, you can get a really good workout in when you have a pickaxe. So I had a lot of fun with that. And then that picture in the middle on the bottom is a picture of them pulling the cement mixer from the church to the parsonage. And so, yeah, it's definitely different than what you normally see around here. So there were tons of relationships that were built in Sabah. We had several of the locals that go to that church that came, and they would just jump right in. And those ladies in their dresses, they didn't care that they had cute little sandals on. They just jumped in and started working. Same with the children. We would shovel sand in whenever we were mixing, and these little kids would shovel more sand than we would. I mean, it was amazing to see their work ethic, to see how hard they work and how strong they are. So there's some of the little ones that I spent a lot of time with. They flocked to me and Shannon quite a bit because we spoke the language. And so it was really fun to get to know them and spend time with them. The lady in the middle goes to the church. And so for the locals that helped work with the church project, she did all the cooking for them. So she lived about 5 houses down from the church. And they would meet down there whenever we would eat our sandwiches. We didn't eat their food because their water is very dirty, and so if they use any of the local water, that could really make us sick. And so we just made real quick sandwiches. They told some of our group that we were fat Americans because we ate too much bread, because we had bread every day. And one guy that he told that to was one of the leaders, and I was afraid to translate back to him what he told me to say, because I was like, he said that you're fat because you eat too much bread. And he was like, well, he's right. So then I had to explain to them, bread to us is like their tortilla. So they eat a lot of tortillas, but we eat a lot of bread. And that's kind of how I tried to explain to them that that's like our staple when it comes to making sandwiches. So but anyway, we wanted to see what a Honduran home looked like. So this woman graciously opened up her home to show us what a Honduran home looks like. And so we'll show you pictures of that here in just a little bit. And Haile is the girl up on the right with me. She was my little buddy. She stayed with me pretty much the whole week. So it made me feel like I was at home with my little ones that were, you know, following me around. So she was really sweet. So here is her Honduran home, and the picture's getting a little bit small, but the picture on the left is an avocado. Their avocado, that avocado was like this big. It was huge, but they have that tree planted in their backyard. We love their bananas, and they don't even sell bananas in their stores anymore hardly because so many people have banana trees in their yard, and so no one ever buys them. So we had a local that brought us a bunch of his bananas because we couldn't get them in the store. And so we had, so they showed us the avocado that was there. The picture on the bottom left is a picture of a plant, and the best thing we could gather, this was all by interpretation, her translating, is they use this plant to make red food coloring. And so I don't know what the plant is, but it was really pretty. The middle picture is the woman who we were in her home. And as you can see, this is her kitchen. Her kitchen is outside. They don't have indoor kitchens, okay? And so the thing right in front of her is her coffee grinder, because that's a high priority in Honduras. They're all about their coffee, just like Central and South America. So that was her coffee grinder. And then the picture on the right was her stove. Her stove was basically this, I don't even know what it was made of, cement with coals on the bottom, and this covering, I don't even know what the covering was made of, and that's where she made her tortillas, that's where her pans were, and so that was her kitchen. And then, anybody know what this is? Anybody know? That's your sink. That is what they use to wash their dishes, that's what they use to wash their clothes, that's what they use to wash their children. So you can see that the picture, or the left-handed side, is where they do the washing, they have the soap, and then the right hand is where they put the children or the dishes or the clothes in, and then they hang everything to dry. And so I appreciated my washer and dryer after I watched her doing her laundry. So here we go. All right, so the Spanish word for firefighter is bombero, and so Bill is a bombero, Bombero Bill. So that's what we all called him the whole week. Bill Raisin was Bombero Bill, and You know, in the United States, we have tons of regulations that we have to follow safety-wise. We can't give meds that are expired. We can't use certain equipment that's expired. And so Bill gathered up equipment that had been expired from the Portsmouth Fire Department that they're not allowed to use here per state guidelines and federal guidelines. And so he boxed that all up and took that to the fire department in Sabah because they don't have a lot of the meds. They don't have a lot of the equipment that we have here. And so they were moved to tears whenever he came and delivered that. And then we had a pediatrician that was on the trip, and she is on the far left in that group picture. And she also brought tons of nebulizers and meds for nebulizers because there's a lot of respiratory issues. And so she brought a lot of those. And so it was great for them to see and be provided a lot of that equipment they normally don't have access to. So they were super appreciative. So this was us translating. They were asking how old this truck was. This truck that they use is very old. It was born in 1983. It is from 1983. I was born in 1983. So I'm like, well, it's 33 years old. So that fire department has had that fire truck for a long time. And so they are talking about with Portsmouth and just seeing if there's anything that they can do to help provide for this fire department because they have a lot of limitations here. One thing that they don't have is like a Jaws of Life, and they don't have certain things that they can use when there's car accidents. There's accidents all the time there because people drive like maniacs, similar to Brazil. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so they don't have a lot of resources when it comes to getting people out of vehicles. And so they were able to take some of that extra money they were planning to use on suitcases for luggage, and they went and bought some equipment for the fire department to have. And again, they were super grateful. They just could not believe how much generosity they were given. And many of those firefighters don't know the Lord. And so they were able to say, you know, we're doing this out of love because we love God and we know that God loves you and we want you to have a relationship with Him. So that was just relationship building. We invited them to our church service, which we'll get to here in a little bit. All right. So the left picture is a picture of us on the back of a pickup truck after we came back from the fire department. We walked there, but we stayed after and talked to them for a little bit. And so that's on the back of the truck. The middle picture is... the guy on the left is Carlos, and the guy on the right is Stephen. Stephen is a pastor in Wapakoneta. And so he has, this was his first time, I think, it might have been his second time going on this trip. But he really was intentional about getting to know a lot of these guys. And so this is where Shannon and I think, really got the best of both worlds because we got to be a part of so many neat conversations that happened because they wanted to have deep conversations with these people. And so Stephen was sitting with me under a tree and several other people, and Carlos was also there. And so Carlos came and sat down, and so Stephen said, Bethany, will you ask him if he's a Christian? And I said, yes. And so I asked, and he said, yes. And he said, I'm growing and I'm learning. And he said, well, tell me, you know, how did you get to that place? And so he said, when I was 17 years old, he said, I was in a car with three other friends, and he said, this person came up to us and shot and killed my three friends that were in the car. He said, I ran, and he said, by God's grace, I was not harmed, and he said, but it was the scariest time of my life. And he said, I was drinking and I was smoking. He said, I was not living for the Lord. He said, but whenever I lost my three closest friends, he said, I hit rock bottom and I didn't have anywhere to turn but to the Lord. And so he said, the Lord broke me and the Lord just allowed me to see my need for Him and that I need to live for Him. I need to bring glory to Him. And those things that I were of my past, I need to put off, and I need to charge forward, and I need to live for Him. And so he wants to be a pastor. He is in the pastoral training program. His big thing right now is he knows that in America there's money, and so he, as much as he wants to be a pastor, he's like, I want to go to the States too. And so we had a lot of talk with him saying, you know what, you don't have to come to the States to think that money is going to buy you happiness. God could use you right here in your home country. You can bring honor and glory to Him by seeing that other Hondurans come to know the Lord because of your, you know, faithfulness to Him. And so we had a lot of really neat conversations. And so I'm going to show you another picture of a guy in a little bit. But as we were talking to him, it was just a neat conversation. This guy kind of came up behind him and his face just totally flattened and he just got really intimidated. And so Stephen and I just kind of looked at each other. And so then we could tell that he didn't really want to talk very much more about what we were just talking about. And so I said, oh, it's time to get back to work. So we got back up. We went to work. Well, Romero is the name of the guy that had come up. And so Romero walked away. And so I asked him, I said, what was that about? And he said, it was his brother that killed all my friends. And I said, oh. And I said, well, where is his brother? He said, he's dead too. And I said, wow. I said, are you scared of him? And Stephen said the same thing. Stephen actually was translating part of this, or was asking me this. He said, did you notice how he shut down? I said, yeah, I did. And he said, ask him. He said, no. He said, let me think about this. He said, I want to talk to him later. Will you translate for us later? Because I want to ask him some questions. I said, sure. And so we went back to work. We were doing our thing. And so we just continued to build relationships and make, you know, small talk with him as we were working. And so later on, Stephen said, hey, is now a good time? We had just gotten done eating lunch. And so he said, Bethany, he said, are you familiar with them? He said, I got to find you. So I can't remember if it's 1st or 2nd Timothy, but he said it talks about God did not give us a spirit of fear. I said, that's 2 Timothy 1:7. He said, thank you. So he pulled it up. And I said, here, let me grab a Spanish Bible. And I pulled it up. And I said, here, Carlos. And so Carlos was holding the Bible. And so Stephen read 2 Timothy 1:7 to him. And so then I showed it to him in the Bible in Spanish, and I read it, and he said, oh, see, oh, yes, you know. And so then Stephen elaborated on that. He said, you know, he said, I can tell that there's some fear in him because of what happened. And he said, yes, there is. He said, there's a fear, there's an inferiority, there's just that. Every time I see him, it reminds me of what happened. And so he said, you know, because God's, you know, God gives a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. And he said, you don't have to fear. You can trust God. And then he talked more about trust. And so it was really neat to just be able to share and translate what Stephen was sharing with Carlos. And Carlos just gave him a hug. And he said, thank you so much. He said, you're right. I don't need to be fearful. And so it was neat. So we asked, we were like, so is Romero a believer? Are we safe with Romero? You know, is he going to kill us? And he was like, no. He said, he's working on it. He said, I don't know if he's a believer, but he is coming to church. And he said, so we're not brothers, but he said, he's getting closer. And we were like, well, that's good. That's really good to hear and exciting. And we hope to see that he comes to know the Lord. And so, definitely have been praying for Romero because I know that it would be great to see him come to know the Lord. All right, so here is Rebecca. Rebecca is Pastor Neftali's daughter, and she is 13, and she helped lead singing in the church, so we'll show you that video here in just a little bit. But she also took to me quite a bit because I spoke the language, and I just love talking to young people. I love just interacting with them. And she's also trying to learn English. And so she would speak English to me as I spoke Spanish back to her. And then I would help correct her whenever she was trying to, you know, now what's the word? And she would say, what's the word in English for this? And so I wouldn't really correct her, but I would just help her better understand the language. And so I really enjoyed working with her. But she loves to play piano and she loves to sing. And so she would come up and just sing some songs and play piano for me up on the stage in the church when we were taking rest breaks. So that's her singing. The picture in the middle is a picture of the people that live right down the road from the church. We gave them Dayton Dragons hats. They, of course, are big into soccer, but they have someone at their church that gets Dayton Dragons tickets regularly. And so they just collect all their hats and send them down with this trip with this group every year. And so they're all, you can't see it real well, but they are all wearing their Dayton Dragons hat. The picture on the right, the kids, they did work really hard, but they also like to have fun too, so they decided to use one of the pieces of wood to make a teeter-totter on the sand pile, so they had fun with that. All right, so this picture is of me and Karen. She's the pediatrician, and her 16-year-old son, Callum, also came with us. And so Callum was a lot of fun to just kind of watch and interact with, and he was super fascinated with the machetes that they have there. And so Karen said to me, she said, you know, the only thing that would make this better is if we did a little bit of medical stuff. And it wasn't 10 minutes later and her medical help was needed. I said to her, I said, be careful what you wish for. She was like, I know. So the first thing that happened was this little, or no, actually that was the third thing that happened. The first thing that happened is I was talking to Haile and someone came up to me and said, Bethany, this little boy is limping. I think he hurt his foot. I said, okay. And so I said, let's go. I said, Karen has some first aid stuff. I said, I'll carry him in and Karen can look at him too. And we had a couple of nurses on the trip too. So sat him down. We took his shoes off and his feet looked like he had been in wet socks and boots for a couple weeks. Like they were so like curled up and raw. I mean, they looked horrible. I didn't even know how he was walking. And so Karen was like, okay. She was like, this will be fun. And so we got him all fixed up and took him out. And so he asked, you know, should I wear these boots or, you know, should I wear different shoes? And we were like, you should probably go change into different shoes. Don't put socks on. Just let them air out. They need to dry. Your feet have been in water for way too long. So we need to dry them out and that'll help it heal. And so he went home. He understood that. He went and got Crocs. He put Crocs on and he came back. And we were like, those are better. That's good. So he was able to run and play. They're tough. They're tough kids. So that was the first one. The second one, I can't remember what happened. There were three things that happened that day that we needed some medical help. So I forget what the second thing was. The third was this little boy. I don't know why they yelled for me, but they were like, Bethany, come here. We need help. And so I'm like, okay. So I come running over and this little boy is just sobbing. And we look and his head has a huge gash in it and he is just bleeding like crazy. So one of the girls' natural instinct, she just scooped him up and I said, let's go back to Karen's kit. So I went back in the church. There was blood everywhere and we got it cleaned up. So that's me holding his hand there. He just squeezed onto my hand the whole time. He would not let go. And as they tried to clean it out, I mean, he would just squeeze tighter and harder. And I just kept encouraging him in Spanish and it's going to be okay. We're taking care of you. Is your mom or dad home? No. Well, who's home? I don't know. Okay. So some of the other kids knew where he lived because, you know, they don't know where their kids are. I mean, they just run. They just run free. And so one of the kids said, I'll go. Well, they went to his house and his uncle was there. So his uncle came to the church. And so we explained to them what happened. Well, they had a suture kit back at the hotel and it probably could have used a couple stitches and she would have stitched him up if she had it on her. But the best thing we had was some super glue and not medical urgent care super glue, like literally super glue. So she was like, well, it works. It's basically the same stuff. So let's do it. So we super glued his head back together and he was fine the rest of the week. And so it was, you know, it was just neat to see how God had people there that could handle the situation and not get grossed out by, you know, blood and nasty, you know, wounds, and we were able to clean it and take care of it, and then he was good to go. And so that was Karen and our medical expertise. So this is the little alley, I would say, that connects where the church is. I'm standing right to that building on the right is the church, and you can see there are some roofs of the homes, and like five houses back is where the parsonage is going to be. And so they have on the left a palm trees, and that's where they get palm oil, and that's what many of their jobs are. The guys that were helping us, they sacrificed several days of pay to help us with the construction, a lot of like Carlos and the other guys from that church. And so they would stick this like real sharp thing into the palm to pull it down, and that's how they would get palm oil. And so that was what many of their jobs were. So there were several palm trees over to the left. All right, so they gave us one day of rest, and they went to a place called Christopher Columbus Beach Resort, so Hotel Cristobal Colon. And the neat thing about that is you had to drive over an airport runway to get to the resort. So that was kind of weird. They were like, we're on a runway right now. And I'm like, well, who lands here? Basically, the rich and famous that come to that beach resort to fly their planes to this runway. And so it was a very nice facility. You can see it has a pretty pool area. And the sign on the right says I Heart HCC, which means I Heart Hotel Cristobal Colon, which is Christopher Columbus. So I went out to the end of the, whatever this thing is called, and took a panoramic view of the resort, and it was absolutely gorgeous. And so we basically just spent the day there reading and hanging out, playing some soccer, resting. They laughed at me because I fell asleep on the beach, but it was nice. You've been working hard. Just might as well enjoy it. So I took a little nap on the beach, but it was a gorgeous view of the ocean. You can't really see it very well, but that's Shannon and I. And then way beyond, in the very far, is where the U.S. Navy base is located. And so you could see some of their towers from afar. So that was really neat to be able to see the naval base from there. They had lots of palapas, which are those hay things that they use for shade. So there were these guys that came up to us and said, "Hey, would you guys like to take a boat ride?" And we were like, "We better ask the powers that be if that is okay, because we don't know if you all are legit or if you're going to like send us away and never come back." And so we asked how much it was, and he said 25, which is 25. And we said U.S. dollars or limperas, and he said limperas, which is their currency. And so one American dollar is 23. So that would have been like a dollar for a little boat ride. And so they were like, "Yeah, it's safe. You can go." And so Dana and Mirza, the missionaries, talked to them a little bit more just to make sure. And he was like, "Yeah, you guys are fine." So we all paid them the 25 limps, and we went on this little boat excursion. And so we were in the middle of the boat. It kind of rained a little bit. Well, then one of the guys that was driving the boat dove off the boat, and we were like, "What's going on? We really are going to have something crazy happen to us." And so then he came back with this huge starfish. So he saw a starfish, he dove down, he grabbed it and brought it up so we could see it and feel it. It was the biggest starfish I'd ever seen. And so then he dove down and found another one. It was a little bit smaller. And so he let us hold it and touch it before we threw it back in. So that was neat. It was neat to see the starfish out there in the wild. And then it took us down to the Fortaleza, the fort, which is over there on the right in the distance. So here is, let's see, I'm trying to think if there's anything else I was going to share. That was in Trujillo, which is where Christopher Columbus founded Honduras. And so that's why the hotel is called Hotel Cristobal Colón, because that was where he landed when he founded Honduras. All right, so we had a little bit of fun with the guys. The pictures are kind of hard to see, but they wanted to get a picture of us jumping up in the air at the same time. So we didn't really accomplish that real well, but we had fun trying. And so they were impressed with our math skills. We were way more impressed with their ladies and their kids' skills than we were. But we had fun jumping up and down with them. This was one of the Catholic churches in Trujillo. And so it was neat to be able to kind of see what the culture is like there. So that was it was a pretty building and had been there for quite a while. They had just recently reconstructed the building. So that's the Catholic Church, and that is another view from the sign. It says Trujillo in front of us, and another view of the ocean as we wrapped up our beach day. So they spelled O-H-I-O. The guy on the left is the leader. His name is Rob, and his wife Julie is the H in Ohio. And then Stephen, the pastor, and then O, Michael, is another guy on the trip. So that was them spelling Ohio. All right, so on our way back from the beach trip, we stopped at the church in La Confianza. And so Henry is there right now, but he is preparing to step in and just focus on Sabah and allow a guy named Alejandro to take over. So this little baby that I'm holding in the middle is Alejandro's little one. And the picture on the right is a picture of Julie and Rob, the team leaders, main leaders, and then Alejandro and his wife Julie and two of their three children. So that's their two boys, Javier and Javier. And their little daughter, Christy, is in pictures later. But it was really neat to see where they serve the Lord. And then we stopped at Wendy's on our way back. So this was the one meal where the majority of the people got sick, which I think is ironic, that they did fine on most of the Honduran food, but when they ate Wendy's in Honduras, they got a little bit sick. So I got me a chicken sandwich. We did the same thing. We stood up at the front and made sure that everyone ordered properly and got the food that they wanted. So there's Wendy's. Okay, so then we decide that we're going to start going to Miramar, which is a part of the country that is by far the remotest place I'd ever been to. And so I'll show you some things along the way and show you a couple of videos. So this is the mountains. So this is where like the hills and the curves and the Martin Road combined really come into play. And so here, the wildlife have right of way. You'd see cows just wandering along the road. This little guy on the right was working. He was cutting wood, and he had his little, I'm not sure, donkey or pony or mule, whatever he was, there. I'm not real good with my animals, but there. So then this bumpy road really makes a lot of people need to use the bathroom. And so we stopped at a place called Esquipula del Norte to use the bathroom. And so they said, go to Pastor Donaldo's house, which is the pastor in Esquipula del Norte. And so we go in, and I asked her, I said, ma'am, do you mind if we use your bathroom? And she was like, oh, see. Well, she takes us out back. And I'm like, where are we going? And so she's like, here it is, Kista, here it is. And so it's an outhouse, and basically it's just like a little bowl that sits over the ground. The door doesn't really shut all the way. I mean, it's just kind of like you can just have conversations while you're going to the bathroom. And then when you get to the point that you need to flush, you're like, well, how do you do that? Well, I didn't flush it, so I just walked out. I was like, I don't know what to do. And so I found out later, I saw that they were pouring water in it. So I guess that's what they do. They just flush it down. I don't know. So anyway, so that is the bathroom. It was. So I was like, are you supposed to sit on that, or are you just supposed to squat? I squatted on it just to be safe. So there we go. So this is the church in Esquipula del Norte. They are in an area where there, of course, there's a lot of poverty. And so they wanted to redo the ground of the church because it needed redone. And so the church that we went with provided the tile for their building. So they bought half of it just to make sure that they would follow through and actually put it down. And they did. They put it down. So then they bought the other half and laid the rest of it down. So it looked really, really nice. And then the picture on the right is the coffee bean. That was in the yard. That's, again, that's very popular. They have their own coffee beans in their yard. So they just raise them, so they've got coffee. So that was the coffee bean. All right, so here is along the way, we one thing that they told us, they were like, we don't know for sure if we'll be able to make it to Miramar because we have to go through a river. And if the river's too high, we can't get through. And I'm like, I'm sorry, what? We're going through a river? They were like, yeah. And I'm like, is that normal? They were like, well, not really, but you're in buses. You'll be all right. We're like, okay. And so I thought you all would like to see the video of us going through the river. And so Matt's going to pull that up for us. Yes. So this was the other bus. So I'm in the one in the front going across before them.
This is kind of weird from down here, too.
You're saying I'm really scared. I said the same thing.
I'm not scared.
You're not scared.
Are you sure, Julie?
Oh, the horses.
There we go. They were thankful to reach the other side. So there, I can now say that I have driven through a river. And Bill, Bombero Bill, you know, is like one of those people here that they tell us don't go through running water, right? So I'm like, Bill, do you approve of this? He was like, yeah, I think it's fine. I'm like, are you just saying that because you trust God, or like, because it's really safe? Like, what are we going to do if we start floating away? He was like, relax. He was like, we'll be fine. I'm like, okay. So we did. We made it through. They made us. They turned off the air conditioning because I don't know what that really does, but apparently it helps. So they turned that off, and we got a little bit hot, but we made it through, and we were able to make it to Miramar. So, all right. So we arrived. That's Hemos Llegado. We arrived, and there were a couple hundred kids, probably 200 kids, that were ready cheering when we pulled in. They were so excited to see us. You could tell they had really been looking forward to us getting there. And so we got there, and I just thought, I think it's fun for you to experience a little bit of what we had whenever we were singing songs with them. So we've got a couple songs that we sang with them. So I think Matt's got it ready there. In the front, dirt helping. While Matt pulls up the next one, the girl that was leading the songs is a Cedarville student. And so this was another thing that was really neat that God provided on. We flew from Dayton to Atlanta, and I was with Shannon. We were flying next to each other. Well, we saw real quick that we weren't going to be together on the flight to Honduras. We're like, it'll be all right. And so I found out that I ended up sitting next to this girl, Kaylee, and her boyfriend, Peter, who is a Cedarville graduate. He is on staff at Grace Baptist in Cedarville. And so anyway, when I found out that I was going to be sitting next to them, I was like, oh, that's good, you know, but I didn't know they were Cedarville students at the time. So I'm like, hey, I get to sit with you guys. They were like, oh, that'll be fun. And so we're just talking. And so they were like, so where are you from? Where'd you go to school? You know, that kind of thing. And so I said, well, I told them, and I said, I'm a Cedarville graduate. And they were like, what? No way. So is he. And she's going to be a senior. And I was like, what? No way. And so we talked like the whole way to Honduras. Like, it was so neat to just really be able to interact with them. We knew a lot of the same people, you know, Aaron Cook being at Grace Baptist. You know, it was just neat to hear the relationship that we're built. And I just thought God was so good that allowed me to sit with them on the way. And I just felt like I had known them for years. And Kaylee had worked last summer at Skyview, and she said, I had heard of Scioto Hills. And I said, well, you should have picked Scioto Hills, but you know, I'm glad you went to Skyview. Working at a church camp's cool, but yeah, she had worked at Skyview last summer. So it was really neat to be able to talk to them. So, all right, we'll see the next one. So the words to that song are saying we need to go, and we need to go tell everyone the good news of Jesus. It's basically, that's the word. It's saying go, go, go. And go and tell the whole world. So anyway, so that you can stop that one now. But they were just saying go, go and tell all the world the good news of Jesus. So, and then there's one more. Saying, God is my friend, is basically what this song was saying. And it's saying the days of the week, every day. can go ahead and stop it. I think it started back over. But basically, they were saying, you know, God is my friend. And it goes on to say, because he's our friend, there's no reason to be afraid. And it was neat because Carlos and the guys that had come to help with us work, they actually came and served with us. And so Stephen was able to relate that song back. Look at the song that we're singing with the kids, that there's no need to be afraid because we've got the Lord and we can trust him. No matter how big or small, we can trust him. And so he was able to use that song to relate back to the fear. And so it was a really neat day. It was neat to be able to serve with them. We saw lots of wild pigs. They came to sing with us too, I guess. And a lot of the kids, at the very end, we gave them all each a Bible, and we gave them all a soccer ball. And so they ordered 350 soccer balls, and they went through all of them between all the places that we had gone. And whenever they ordered it, Julie, the one of the leaders, ordered 350 from Dick's Sporting Goods, and they rejected her order because they thought it was either a kid that had ordered wrong or that it was hacked, and so they wouldn't, you know, let them order it. So she called and said, "No, this is real. We're taking them to Honduras, and we need 350." And they were like, "Oh, okay, then we'll approve it." But they thought that they had been hacked, and so they were super appreciative. They were super excited about the soccer balls. And then there's some more pictures of the river on the way back, because, you know, once we got over the river, we had to go back. And so we were there for a little bit. They're getting ready to build a building. This may be where they go next year, but this place is super remote. There's no hotels. Most of them don't have cars. I mean, it's very, very remote. And so they showed us where the church is going to be built, and so they're trying to figure out what they may be able to do to make that happen. And then I mentioned that we took the river through. Well, another option we could have done was walk across the bridge. So the plan, if we couldn't go through the river, was to walk across, and then they would bring some, like, I don't know what, horses, or maybe they said they might have a few pickup trucks that they could find that they could bring us over in groups, but it would have taken a while to transport us all over. There were 28 of us, and about 35 when you include the missionaries that had come and the other local Hondurans. So on the way back, I decided to experience the best of both worlds. I figured I'd walk back since I rode in the bus going over. So that's us on the bridge, and we made it back safely. So there are a couple other views on the way back from Miramar. So that picture on the left is where that road is no longer there. It has kind of caved in a little bit. So that was where I was a little bit anxious. And the part that is still there was barely wide enough for our bus to get through. And so that is, that was one of the scary parts. And then the middle picture, you can't really see really well because I had a hard time trying to find a way to get a picture of it and see it real well. But as there's a curve coming up, and the that very small picture of the truck was a lumber truck, and they had lost tons of lumber. And so they had sent their Hondurans down on that off of that cliff to try to hoist it back up, because that's a lot of money for them. That's their income. And so they were trying to hoist that back up. So I just thought, oh, Lord, please be with them, because it was a very steep drop-off. And then Willie is the bus driver. So whenever we went places, we had two buses. We had Willie's bus, and they called him Mario, but that's not real. His name is Mario, but Mario is more fun. So Mario was the bus driver, and Willie was the bus driver, where Willie has been with this group for the last 3 years. And it is because of this group that he has come to know the Lord. And so it was really, really neat to see his love for the Lord and his love for the people, and to just see the growth that has taken place. Of course, I didn't know him until this year, but he just spoke a lot about how much this group impacts him and how much he looks forward to being the bus driver for this group every year. And so it was really neat. So I was with him, and so I would translate. He knew a very little bit of English, and Mauro knew a little bit more English, but Shannon was with him so that the people in the group could talk to the bus driver, and they would just translate through us. And they also knew that I would get car sick, so they put me up front with him so that I didn't get sick on the way. And so that was Willie. He was it was really neat to work with him. So on our last day of work, there are a couple pictures. Bill is up there on the platform. They brought a projector for them to hang, and so they had some people that knew the electrical work to be able to help get that hooked up. So there he is, setting that up in the projector. We had a lot of leftover dirt, as you all, I'm sure, hear of Zika, the Zika virus that had come. This is an area that, where there's tons of Zika and tons of malaria. So they tell you not to go to this area because of the Zika virus and the mosquitoes. So that far picture on the right is where tons of standing water sits on the side of the church, and standing water, where standing water comes, tons of mosquitoes. And so they flattened that off as much as they could to try to hopefully keep that water overflow from building, just to protect the people that live there, to hopefully eliminate some of the mosquitoes around the church building. So this was the last day. This is a panoramic view of the parsonage. So this was one thing that was really neat was, you know, with my grandpa just passing away and him building tons of houses, the biggest part of my translating was working with the builder from the U.S. and the contractor from Honduras. And so I had to explain from the English builder, English-speaking builder, to Spanish where the bedroom's going to be, where the bathroom's going to be, where the kitchen's going to be, because they were going to put as much as they could of a kitchen in the pastor's home. They were trying to figure out where the hallways and what the dimensions should be. And so they don't have blueprints like they do here. They wrote it on a napkin. And so he said, here it is. And so he had everything mapped out. And so then we had to run the dimensions so that we were all on the same page. Well, as we're working, we had two contractors, one at the church and one at the parsonage. And the one at the church knew more of what he was doing. And so we learned that real quick, that he knew what he was doing. Well, the guy at the house was not doing as well. And they learned, they were like, we'll never hire two contractors again. We'll just hire one and just have them split their time between both places. Well, when he was doing the dimensions, he was like, Bethany, the guy from Piqua, he said, their walls are going to be like this if we don't do something. He said, and that drives me crazy. And I said, okay, I'm like, I will talk. But he wanted to be it in a way that it didn't come across as an arrogant American. And so we had to be really cautious. And so he was like, can you explain A squared plus B squared equals C squared in Spanish? I said, yes, I can do that. And so I explained to him, you know, if this is this much and this is this much and this is what this should be. And so you want it to be square. You want it this to be even. This should be 90 degrees. And so so it was neat to be able to help the, you know, the builders and just kind of have that small piece of my grandpa knowing what he did for so many years and be able to help them in Honduras. And so I really hope his parsonage ends up straight, because I will be to blame if not. So we laid the foundation, and what they do, because I ask them, like, so does that mean they're not going to do any more building until next year when the group comes next year? And they said, no, what they do is we get as much done with our group as we can, and then the church pays for the builder to finish it for them. And so hopefully next year when they go, that they will have their house done by then. And so we laid the foundation. And then here was the last day at Sabah, and you can see all the cement was poured. Initially, this was all just a bunch of sand and dirt, and they were able to level that out. So it's really nice. Their church is bursting at the seams, and so they're really talking about how they may need to expand the walls to make it bigger, but now they at least have a platform that people can stand when they've got such a full group of people at church. So that was the last of the projects. So that night, we went back to the hotel, relaxed for a little bit, and then we got ready to do a church service that night. So this was at the church service. Shannon and I, a group in the back as they were filtering in. That was Pastor Henry and Alejandro. Alejandro is the one that's going to take over the church in La Confianza, and Henry is here in Sabah. Our leader, Rob, always likes to have kind of a theme song that goes along with our trip, and he had really just been praying, God, you know, what could our theme song be? I want it, when they hear it, you know, I want them to think about this trip and how God is at work. And so whenever he was listening to Caleb, the song Same Power came on, and there's a line that says, the same power that rose Jesus from the grave is the same power that lives in us. And so he said, you know, we are vessels being used by God, and You know, he moves mountains. He is so powerful, and he lives in us. When we know him, he lives in us. And so we want to serve him. We want others to know the good news of Jesus. And so the church in Sabah heard that that was what kind of our theme song was. And so they surprised us, and they played the song. And so it had the words up on the screen. And so it was neat for them to just kind of make it a little bit personal as we... we're wrapping up our time with them. So there's a picture of people. Haile came and sat with me because she was my little buddy. So the guy in the white is Romero, the one that I was telling you about. And so Romero was in this skit that they had. They had the different groups of kids that sang some songs and did some skits. So this is one of those skits where it has... people living in sin, and then how there's temptation, and how they see the Lord, and how they need to come to the Lord. And so it was that was the drama that they were doing. The picture on the left is the guy, you know, struggling with the sin, and then the picture on the right is when she realizes, I need to repent and I need to turn to you. And so that was the drama that they played. And these were like young adults. And then we had a couple little kiddos and a couple of the middle-aged like elementary kids and middle school kids that did some songs for us. So I'll let you watch just a few of those. So these are the little ones. They were so cute. So they're singing, I love you, to the Lord. And then here is the middle school kids that were doing theirs. Very good. So they enjoyed coming up and just kind of showing what they've been doing, what they've been learning. And then, so we're wrapping up, saying our goodbyes. So we gave lots of hugs. The girl, Hannah, on the far left holding the baby is one of the girls that was on the trip. So she put the baby to sleep during the service. I held the baby for quite a bit of it because Julie is his mom, and she is the one in the white shirt that I have a picture with. She is Alejandro's wife. And so I talked to her quite a bit about ministry and how she's excited to serve as her husband takes over as a pastor. And they have three little ones. Let me see. Christy is their oldest, their little girl, and she's the one on the right. And she just kept saying, I love you so much, and I don't want you to leave. I love you so much, and I don't want you to leave. And I'm like, I want my babies to just come back, and you can be with us too, because she was so, so sweet and so fun. And so talked to Julie and Christy quite a bit. And then up in the right was the firefighters. So we, like I said, a lot of those firefighters don't know the Lord. They invited them to the church service. And so they asked, they said, you know, we really want to show our appreciation to Bill for providing all of this. And so they gave him a firefighter shirt from Sabah. And they said, you're one of us too. And so we appreciate the, you know, all that you did. And they were just very thankful. And so they invited them to continue to come to the church service as well. So who knows? You never know what seeds may have been planted, and some of these firefighters may start coming to church. So it was kind of emotional at the end of this night because we knew that this would be the end of seeing so many of these people that we had spent the week with. So that was Saturday night, I believe. And so on Sunday morning, we went to the church in La Ceiba. So La Ceiba is what we went through to get back to San Pedro Sula. So this is the start of our heading back home. So this song that you'll see here in just a minute is one that you all have sang in English. So we'll see if you recognize what the song is. Maybe. Maybe, maybe. Is it going to work? You guys get it? Know it? Yeah. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. So that was one of the songs that they sang. So it was fun to be able to sing that in Spanish with them, because we knew some of the songs that they sang and some we didn't. But that was one that we definitely knew. So it was fun to worship with them in La Ceiba. The as I mentioned, Rebecca that I talked to, Neftali's daughter, this is the church where they go. So she helped lead the singing. So she's only 13 years old, and she's up there leading singing quite a bit. Another boy is, I forget what his name is, but he played the drums. He was 12. And so it's neat to see the involvement of the young people in that church. So then after we got done singing and saying goodbye in La Ceiba, we ate at Pizza Hut. And so they told us, they were like, Pizza Hut in La Ceiba or in Honduras is so good. It's even better than the States. And so they were right. It was. It was really, really good, really fresh, really tasty. So that is me and my Cedarville friends, Kaylee and Peter, that were on the trip with us. And then you can see the view of Pizza Hut. It was very, very nice. It was very pretty. And then there's a picture of the ocean in La Ceiba. So then we went from La Ceiba back to San Pedro Sula, and we spent the night in Dana and Mertz's house. And so Dana and Mertz have a really nice house, and then they have off of their house a little courtyard and some little lodging for the missionaries that come if they're staying in San Pedro Sula, and also for pastors' conferences. So they have a really nice facility in the back. They have several rooms with bunk beds, and they also have some rooms with bigger beds for people, like for couples to be able to stay. So it was really pretty. They have some hammocks up. And so there I was. I took a picture in the bunk bed because I figured my kids would enjoy that. I showed the kids that. But that's my bunk bed. And then those were the roommates that we stayed that one night before we went back to the airport the next day. So lots of neat conversations, lots of neat new friendships that were made. So then there we are in the airport. So that is Bill and Shane and I. We realized on this whole trip that we never got a picture of the three of us. We were affectionately known as the Portsmouth people, and none of us live in Portsmouth, but we were the Portsmouth people. So we got a picture of the Portsmouth people. And then this guy on the picture on the right is Mike, and he is going to be leading group to Honduras next year. And so he went with this group. He's from Sydney, Ohio, and he wanted to kind of learn from Rob how to, you know, get the team prepared and ready and kind of what to do. And so he came. Well, when we got to the airport, they told us, they were like, now we just want to tell you that when you come back through the Honduran airport, they are extremely strict. They search your bags and they search them again. They're super strict. We're like, okay. They said, and then when you get to the gate, they randomly pick 2 to 3 people from your group to search your bags. So if you're picked, that's fine. But when you're in a group like that, like, my suitcase might have Haley's name on it because we're all in a group, so it may not be affiliated with my name. So they said, you may not get your suitcase, so you might have to sit there while they search someone else's bag and act like you know what's in it. And so wouldn't you know that I got picked? So me and Mike got picked, and Mike was kind of like super, he has daughters, and so he was like super protective of all the ladies on the trip, making sure everyone was, you know, safe. And so anyway, he was like, well, I'm just glad that I got picked too, because I'm glad you didn't have to go down here by yourself. So we had to put our orange jackets on, these orange vests, and we went down under the plane and back under the airport, and they took us into this room that reminds you of like FBI. I mean, it's like windows tinted, and so we go in the room, and thankfully, my suitcase was matched with my name. Thankfully to the God, you know, thanks to God that I didn't have to act like I knew what was in someone else's bag. And so they searched my bag. I had a machete. I brought Matt a machete back, but they were fine with that. I had 10 pounds of coffee, and they were okay with that, but they did search the bag to make sure there wasn't any drugs. And I made it through fine. Well, then Michael goes back to his, and he ended up having Rob, our leader, his bag. And so he was like, he had some funny things in there. He said, I can't wait to tell him what I saw. And so he was giving him a hard time, but they had to search his bag. And so he was laughing about that. But we did. We were the lucky ones that were chosen to search our bags. So as I wrap up, I just thought I would kind of mention some people as the Lord brings them to your mind. Some people that we have been praying for, and that is the pastor and wife teams that we interacted with. And it's just been neat to see the work that Dana and Mirza have done to really build into the lives of these people. These are all Honduran pastors. These are all people that they have grown to love and have really built into. That is Dana and Mirza, who live in San Pedro Sula. Pastor Neftali and Mary, who live in La Ceiba. Neftali has a lot of health concerns, and it was really funny because that was the first time that we had to translate, and Neftali had been having a lot of heart problems and a lot of issues, and so he is telling me and Shannon one thing about how he'd have trouble breathing and stuff, and then Mary, his wife, said, they said, Bethany, come here, because she's talking. And so I came over to her, and so as she's talking, she's basically like, the only thing that helps is medical marijuana. And I kept asking her to repeat herself because I didn't want to tell everyone that he was using marijuana if that wasn't true. And so I'm like, did you say medical marijuana? Yes. Yeah. Okay. I'm like, okay. So yeah, so medical marijuana seems to be the only thing that is helping him. And so he came up to me and he was like, I'm having some pain. I'm like, what kind of pain? I'm like, do we need to call the squad? Is that what we do here? You know, what do we do? Well, we ended up giving him some medicine, and he was able to feel a little bit better. But we had to keep an eye on him because he was experiencing some pain while we were there. Pastor Henry and Cynthia, as I mentioned, that's the wife that's in Kansas City right now, and she will hopefully be going back to Honduras here very soon. Alejandro and Julie. And then Pastor Donaldo, I never caught his wife's name. And then just our new friends in Honduras. We had a lot of neat relationships that were built. I'm friends with many of them on Facebook now, and so they'll message me and just ask how things are going, how my family is, and we'll do the same with them. And then we just want to praise God for the answered prayer. God was good and answered so many prayers of ours and of you all. There were effective ministries. One thing that really stands out to me is out of a group of 28 people, we were ultimately representing 7 different churches, many whom we had never met. And so just the 3 Portsmouth people alone all go to different churches. We have Bill, who goes to The Rock at the movies theater. We have Shannon, who lives in Ashland and goes at a church in Ashland. I think it's called Bridges. And then I go here. So there was 3 just from us here. And then we had a group from Wapakoneta, Piqua, in Sydney. And then one of the girls that came from the Upper Valley Church in Piqua grew up in that church but is involved in another church in Piqua. So, like, we had 7 different churches there. There was not one negative attitude. There was not any disunity. Literally, everyone worked together for God's glory. They were so eager to build into the relationships, and they would say, I'm sorry, do you need a break? Because if you do, I won't, but I really wanted to ask this person some questions. We're like, no, that's fine, that's why we're here. And so we would just come alongside and just ask questions. You know, are you married? Do you have kids? You know, just asking all kinds of questions to get to know them. Where do you go to church? You know, just lots of questions and relationships built. And it was just amazed, and I think only God could bring 28 people from such different backgrounds, and really, he receives all the glory. The VBA was a success. They call VBS VBA. They say school has a bad context, and so they call A is adventure, Vacation Bible Adventure. So their VBA was successful, construction, and then just the relationship that were built. And I'm also just thankful for those of you that pray, just for clarity of thought and understanding the language, because it had been a little while since I'd really spoken fluently, and so I'm just thankful that God allowed me to just be able to speak the language and use it for his glory. And I'm going to have to tell my high school teacher that she didn't really spend much time on construction words, because that's what a lot of it was. So I had to look up some of that before I went, just to make sure I knew how to translate that. And so anyway, so God was so good, and I'm so thankful to all of you for your prayer and just joining me in ministry in that way, because it was really neat to see God at work. So yeah, good. Do you have any questions or anything for me?
We feel like we've been there. That was really thorough. We just really appreciate that. God really answered our prayers for you. So
yeah, good deal. All right.
Let's pray and thank the Lord for what he's accomplished. Bethany, we really appreciate it.
No problem.